Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
All right, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello. What's going on?
Another cramping, back cramping. Actually, it's that time of the month. I know, but it's all good, man. Just trying to survive out here in 105-degree weather.
Yeah, working on the ranch. It's a whole different kind of workout. It's all like Rocky IV style. Just moving logs around, dragging shit around.
I wish it were logs. They'd be lighter than the freaking boulders, but... That's what a tractor's thinking.
Yeah, the tractor's for. So, you know, exciting stuff starting to come up, starting to make some plans for Monterey Car Week. We're going to see Barrett Jackson just wrapped up Vegas. I haven't seen the results of it yet. It seems to be like a pretty good event. You and I were just talking a minute ago about some of the charity cars that seem to do pretty well, and they always do for those guys.
Yeah, we're also talking about how well the 170, the new Dodge, how well we didn't think it did. I mean, honestly, I thought it'd bring more money than $400,000.
Yeah, so that was a charity car. I guess it's like VIN 1 or whatever they're doing on it, which they've done in the past. And the charity cars...
Was it VIN 1?
I'm assuming it was, because it's usually the case when it comes to Barrett Jackson, is they get... VIN 1 is part of the deal. Let's see.
That's crazy if that was VIN 1.
If it was VIN 1. Let's see. Or maybe it's the final one. That's when I did it, it's the last VIN, I think, is what they were doing, which is an interesting way of doing it, because VIN 1 is so competitive.
Yeah. VIN 1 wouldn't have gone for $400,000.
Yeah. Actually, this number is coming in at 700. Oh, because it went back, because they bid twice.
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah. So it actually brought in 700,000 for charity. But as you were saying, is the first person brought it up to, I don't know, something like 400,000, and then gave the car back. So he just donated the money, and then the bid continued, and it added to it. So, yeah. So I guess that turned out to be a pretty good. turned out to be a pretty good a deal for them. Yeah, just a lot going around that Dodge Demon 170. We get into this battle of.
I saw one on eBay or something. You know, like the slot positioning for it. You know, not the specific car itself, quite obviously, because they're not out yet, but. I guess they're popping up. I haven't seen anything other than those two, but
well, if these do well in the aftermarket, then it helps to bring up the other demons, right? Like the previous gen, right? It brings up the value of those.
Yes, it does.
Right. Yeah. So
there's money back to go into it right now, man, with that car. I mean, I just can't wait to see the first one on the street.
Yeah.
I guess the first one in the street is probably going to be mine, but I don't know. The odds of seeing one of those driving around here are pretty slim.
Yeah, so I don't have the results. They usually send out the press release like a week after, and I'm curious to see how it's done in overall the car, because I didn't get to watch a whole ton of it. And I just kind of want to see where we are with the market. But you know, they've got their first ever New Orleans event coming up in September. But prior to that, of course, in October will be Monterey Car Week, where there's a handful of auctions and Broad Arrow and Gooding and RM and Mecum and a couple of the others that are all up there. So we'll see how that's going to go. So we're just kind of starting to put together a plan for that. And now the plan for SEMA.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to how these auctions are doing at this time in the world and this time of the year, and, you know, taking everything into consideration with the climate of auto industry. I'm really curious to see where we are. Because to be perfectly honest, and I love Barrett Jackson, but this Vegas Barrett Jackson just flew way under the radar for me.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, I'm on all the lists, so it seems like it was promoted to me, and I follow them all on social media, and I think it felt like it was promoted to me. I don't know that I watch those TV stations regularly, so I'm not sure how much they've been promoted. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty much on par, but yeah, there was something overall just felt a little less promoted. Now, there's this new relationship, you know, no secret. We brought it up before how Barrett Jackson sold half the company to Endeavor, which is this, you know, big agency and entertainment company that's buying up entertainment properties. They got WWE, they got UFC, they've got the rodeo. What is it? PBR? When I say PBR, I always think of the beer, but I think it is the rodeo though, right?
People even can relate to half blue ribbon anymore.
Oh, we lost your microphone. You got pushed away. Oh, he's up high. It's up high. There you go. PBR is Professional Bull Riders, right? So that organization, I think, was also part of this roll up of big entertainment companies. So what was interesting is I was talking to Brad Fanshawe. We were doing the podcast last week, and he did a quick trip to Vegas. He did to the opening night gala and the first day. Then he came back to take care of his mom. But he said it was interesting because some of the PBR stars, I guess the athletes, they had a pretty big presence and were a part of Barrett Jackson. And there was a big display in the middle of the Vegas event, under the roof at the convention center, which was promoting the rodeo, promoting PBR. So there's starting to be some integration to that.
I can see the UFC. I can see WWE. But in all honesty, please tell me the correlation you think between PBR and Barrett Jackson.
Well, I think one of the challenges that they're trying to work on is making that correlation. They're trying to...
But it's certainly not the crowd that... I mean...
No, I think more for the Scottsdale auction, right? Then, and maybe in Texas before they did Texas,
even more so, not the crowd.
But, I mean, Westworld is where they do some of those events. Where
still,
I
mean, hey, it might be a nice like a 50-foot jump shot, but I mean, listen,
Barrett Jackson, because car collection is kind of this great mediator across industries and people's careers, right? Like, you know, you're a professional wrestler, you're, you know, a Wall Street,
I can see it
guru, like you buy cars, you like cars,
life, but not PBR. That's all I'm saying.
I guess they were pushing some trucks and they were bringing some of those celebrities up there, but you're right, is if they bring some of the PBR guys up on the stage to help move a car, I wouldn't know any of the names.
Well, I mean, I'm not, hey, dude, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the PBR. And those
I just don't follow it. Yeah.
They're freaking crazy. I watch it every once in a while. I mean, to see it live is unbelievable. It's like watching NHRA, right? In a way. Yeah. I mean, shock and awe. I just don't see the correlation. I think that it's a waste of time. But I mean, with all the other ventures, I would see them, you know, strategizing to put more attention on cross-referencing those audiences as opposed to this one. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see how what kind of reception they get and the displays and stuff that are at the events. But you're right. I can see at future events them doing something with UFC, maybe doing something with WWE, because, you know, WWE, of course, more than UFC and, of course, PBR, is WWE being an entertainment property. Part of what they do now with reality shows and guest appearances on, you know, like Dancing with the Stars and things like that, that yes, they're turning WWE wrestlers more into entertainers, more into celebrity figures, more into fan based stuff. Although WWE has always been super fan based, right?
That's not something that hasn't been in the repertoire of pro professional wrestling. I mean, that's how it's always been.
Yeah, that's how it's always been, right?
It's a natural correlator.
Back in the day, like back in the Hulk Hogan days and Andre the Giant and those guys and Ultimate Warrior and Junkyard Dog.
I'm 57 years old. I drive up to Austin the last 2 days to a place. I can't even remember the damn name, but I'm not going to say highbrow, but a high level training institute for NFL players, for professional athletes. So I take Gage up there. His trainer coaches a kid named Landon. I think it's Landon Johnson. I don't know where he plays now, man. He was with the Redskins, but he played at Alabama, played linebacker, played defensive back at Alabama, been in the league 4 years. Let's just say Gage trained with five guys yesterday that are all in the NFL. They're not veterans. They've been probably 2 to 6 years average.
Yeah.
And all of them just freaked out with the wrestling thing. It crosses every boundary.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a pro athlete. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's wild how expansive the reach is.
And
PBR is so niche.
Yeah, it's so niche.
Not even comparable. That's all that I'm saying. So.
I mean, the old school guys that I was talking about, you know, there was cartoons back in the day. It's just like all kind of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see how those events are going to play out. I mean, it gives Craig Jackson and his team, you know, as we said, he was able to cash in a little bit, but still run the company. So he's got this. It's nice validation going, hey, you know, you and your family built this company for a long time. Here's a bunch of money to reward you for that, which is good, which a lot of us are striving to get to. But also he wanted to stay on and be a part of it. So I'm sure he's got many more years of doing that. And now that the company is backed by something even larger, they've got the funding and the partners to take it to the next level, right? Like, where do you go from here? And that's kind of interesting, is like, it's an auction, but it's also a really killer event. You know, I love going to Gooding and RM in Monterey. Adam Kroll and I go every year up there, and we love seeing those cars. But it really is just the cars. It's not an event type of thing. And
we spoke about it before. It's like Goodwood.
Yeah. Now, they hold the auctions at an event, being Monterey Car Week. So you can go to, you know, the Exotics on Cannery Row or whatever it is now, Broadway, and you can go to the track and you can go to Pebble Beach and you can go to all these events, and the auction is a part of it. Whereas Barrett Jackson does it all under one brand. It's their event, you know, particularly Scottsdale. We'll see how they can grow the other events like Vegas and Palm Beach, still pretty popular. Palm Beach, I haven't been to, but Palm Beach, Vegas, and the new New Orleans event. You know, it's good. I'm excited for them. I'm happy for them. So we'll see how that goes. excuse me. So I've been kind of digging through the cars in my garage,
Looks like you spent all the time strategically parking every one of them perfectly so that you can view them.
Over my shoulder. They're on camera over my shoulder.
Give me a month and a half, and I'll be able to do that over here.
Yeah. So as I was prepping the Mustang Mach 1 for the HRE Wheel Show, brought it back. We've got a few things on that, and then I've been trying to kind of pick up and make the list of things to do on the 95 Lightning and the red 93 Cobra, which obviously has been around sitting there as a project for a long time. My friend Chris Brown, the car designer and whatnot, we finished up the mirrors and the door handles for the 95 Lightning, and he brought them over a little while ago. They're done. Like Evod cut them all out of billet aluminum. We had them Cerakoted. They're black, but it's kind of an off black. It's not like a shiny black to match the paint, but it's not complete flat. It's kind of a slight shade off black, just to give it a little bit of an accent on the door handles and the mirrors. The door handles are fantastic. Those basically bolt right on. The mirrors, if you guys remember, we took the door glass, which had a quarter window, and converted it to a one piece glass conversion. Now, when I did that, it gave us the option to move the mirror forward because you don't have the post of that quarter glass in the way. That's why the mirrors were moved back. So now that we move the mirrors forward a little bit, it has a little bit better look. So the mirror isn't quite as much in the center of the door. It's more toward the front of the door. But we were trying to come up with a way to not like sort of cut up the whole door to mount this thing and fill holes and weld it. So we made a base for the mirror that's a little bit longer. It's all billet aluminum, but it uses, I think, two of the factory holes, but then we add a third hole to the front. So it's got some stability, and behind it, we have to mount a plate because the mirror is much heavier than the plastic ones. So if you drive down the road and you're hitting a bunch of bumps, the mirrors shake. So
like every 1970s car?
Yeah, right. But now that we added, you know, a 2-pound billet piece instead of a half a pound plastic piece, we have to make a plate on the back end to do it. But there's kind of like, there's these threaded inserts on the backside that I have to like drill out and remove and then add my plate and bolt it in there. So it's going to take a little bit of a work to get it done. I'm trying to see if it can be done all underneath the plate of that mirror, underneath the foot of that mirror, without having to repaint the door. Can it all be done, and can we drill it out and remove the backing plate and add our new one and not screw up the door? Can it be done you know, without having to repaint and rebody and fill and weld and do any of that stuff? So I think so. I think so. But I haven't removed the stock backing plate. So there's a couple like spot welds that need to be drilled out. And then we'll see what that does to the door and if our new mirror covers it. So anyway, that piece is looking pretty good. And, you know, I had Billet Badges make me the badges and stuff for that car at SEMA a few years ago. And we were just kind of rushing it. We wanted it in black, and they kind of came out this weird gray color, like the Ford logo, and on the side, the F-150 logo, which now says Supercharged. It had this weird kind of tan black, like tinted kind of colors. It's kind of off, and it was weird. So when we had the mirrors and the door handles done, had them done on the Cerakote coating, it gave us an opportunity to pull all the emblems off and send it all off at once and have everything done to match. And it came out fantastic. So they do a Cerakote over the whole thing. And then on the writing where it says Ford, or on the sides where it says F-150 Supercharged, that's just sort of a brushed aluminum. And So what Chris does is he just sent them out, had them Cerakoted, and then he just makes a flat panel and he sands that top coat off, and it's all kind of embedded into the grooves underneath. And it came out fantastic. So it looks good. So when we did the one piece glass conversion, it adds this door beam inside the door, stability for the glass. And that's where a speaker would normally go. So I can put a speaker in there. What's that?
Don't even drive the fucker, man. Don't worry about a speaker.
I just sit in it and listen to the radio. Your window but anyway, I found a solution. I found a very slim mount type of speaker that I think is going to work. But the door panel, because the door panel, the plastic door panel on the inside would start to turn up where the quarter window was. Now it has to go all the way the length of the door. So we have to kind of cut off the top of the door panel. So the top of the door panel sits flat where the felt is, where the window is. And then it comes up in sort of this plastic triangle shape. And that triangle has to be cut off. And I need to make the door panel go all the way straight across. And there's no way that we could like Bondo it or plastic and weld it and then plastic weld it and then have the felt strip go and then actually match the texture of the plastic door panel. You won't be able to make it happen. So my thought was, in that area, we'll just make a pod for a mid-range speaker. So I'll have the woofer in the door. We'll do a mid-range speaker, like a 2.5 inch on top of the door panel. And then the tweeter will be in the A pillar. So it'll have a very cool kind of 3-speaker effect. And it solves the issue because we custom mounted a pod where we cut off that triangle plastic piece. And then it'll match the rest of the door panel because we can do that in a vinyl or leather or something. So anyway, just kind of a thought on that. Did some measurements and played around with it. And I think that's probably going to be able to work. So I'll start moving forward on that. And then the red Mustang, there was two issues I was playing with is one is, so Brad Fanshawe, my co-host on Shift and Steer, he has Bond Speed wheels. He made me wheels for the Mustang. And years ago, we rolled it out to SEMA and it worked, but he did a hidden valve stem, which is a move on some high-end cars. The valve stem is not on the outer portion of the rim. It's on the inner portion of the rim. Now you got to be careful where you put it because what happens is that valve stem can often hit the brake caliper. So when the wheel spins, it just keeps hitting it. And when we first put it together, because we were rushing for SEMA years ago, and now the valve stem's rubber and it had a rubber cap, so it has some flex in it. But we put the car down and we were going to roll it, push it out to get pictures, and before we put it on the trailer. And then it's like
sounded it's like a bicycle with credit with cards in the.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It sounded like baseball cards in the spokes of your. Now not quite as fast, but yeah, you hear I'm like, what the hell?
And yeah.
So we went to like a flush valve stem, which is a little more complicated. It's metal, and you have to screw in the valve stem piece. But now that we've got it back, and I was able to put it up on jack stands and spend some time in it. It's really on the rear wheel where it hits the most. So I took one of the rear wheels, had the tire removed, brought the wheel back and got a couple of different valve stems and it took some measurements and I'm just installing them myself one at a time to come up with a solution that I think works. And I don't want to use the flush valve stem because it has this weird little cap and then you have to unscrew the cap and then screw in like an extension to fill up the air. And even that extension is tough to get to because of the angle of it. So that's not a good solution. So I'm trying to find a small enough valve stem to work. Well, so I found one that will work and it's a regular valve stem. It's a regular, it's the metal version, which is fine and it'll work and I can fill up the air. But the gauges and the computer stuff that I'm putting in this car from Dakota Digital has an option for TPMS. It has the pressure sensor monitor. Now, I don't have to use it, but because the option is there, I'm seeing if I can come up with a way to make it happen. So I spoke to Dakota Digital, and they don't offer a short valve stem, but their TPMS uses the normal Schrader system. So if I can find a short enough valve stem, so I think I found something that might be close. It might be close. And if so, I can put it on the Dakota Digital TPMS. And I wouldn't mind having that in the car. If it works and it fits, great. If it doesn't, not that big of a deal. I do have a valve stem solution without the TPMS that I could use. And I don't have to fuss around with screwing in the extension and all that stuff. So that part of it is solved. But it is close. And I talked to Brad about it as well. It was like, what kind of flex is in the wheel and what am I going to expect here? And is, you know, how much clearance do I need? Is it like a sheet of paper or is it like five sheets of paper? Cause that's really what we're talking about now is how thin it is. I think I'm in good shape. I don't know about the TPS version. I ordered pieces. We'll see if it fits, but, if I can get that solution, then I can put it back on the ground and move it around. Cause right now it's been sitting on jack stands for a while. And then the next is, and I know I've been talking about it for years. It's talk about a broken record, but is the brackets we're making for the supercharger. I took some more measurements and mocked up some stuff in wood and shot a video of what I was trying to do. And I sent it all over to the engineer at ProCharger, Clint. He's a really nice guy. And first of all, I said, I go, hey, remember 2 years ago and you said you were making a Ford front accessory drive? He's like, I haven't even started it yet. And I was like, all right. I go, well, let me tell you what I'm planning on doing. And you let me know if this is nuts or it's never going to work or, you know, what's your thought on this? And I kind of sent him over some rough ideas of what we were putting together. And he came back and said, he thinks it's real nice and super clean. Should work great. We've got to figure out exactly how and where to put a belt tensioner. So we got to find some room for that. And that's an important part of it. You can't just do your idler pulleys and belt tensioner without any real thought behind it. And Eric Radson's at ProCharger has been doing a lot of their videos, a lot of their YouTube videos. He actually did a really good video of tensioners, the different types of tensioners, the ones that ProCharger uses, how to set up a tensioner, especially if you're doing a custom kit. And you've got quite a bit of swing on a tensioner. And what do you do to kind of get it in the middle so it's got enough tension on the belt, but also can move up and down with enough room? Because if you go too tight or if it's too loose, there's no more room in the tensioner. So it's a pretty cool YouTube video, and it kind of just opened your eyes to going, I didn't know I needed to learn about belt tensioners, but now you do, and there's some stuff you need to figure out. So coming up with your own, building your own front engine accessory drive is, I don't think it's super hard, but it definitely requires some thought. Like, you got to play around with this a few times. And then as you're doing it and I'm mocking it up and I'm looking at it and I go, oh, this is going to be easy. And then I'm looking at it and I go, oh, but there's no lower radiator hose on my car right now. And I'm like, that's going to be in the way. That's going to screw me up. So I got to mock things up a few more times to get it to work. But anyway, that's where I'm at with those projects, trying to inch forward while handling and doing a bunch of other things in the process. So
welcome to my life.
Yeah, right. I mean, the custom projects is why you go get the Ring Brothers to do everything. I wish I could do that, but I can't.
Yeah. The wait time alone isn't worth it. But yes, if you could, those are the dudes to go for.
Little bit of car news. So, you know, Aston Martin, they are backed by a big holding company that also has a stake, or I think, yeah, has a pretty big stake in Lucid. So and, you know, Aston Martin's worked with Mercedes for quite some time. Their V8 engines came from Mercedes. A lot of their electronics, infotainment system and stuff came from Mercedes. And this is kind of interesting. So Lucid, I think, has a pretty good powertrain system in the works on their cars. Now, I don't know about the quality and the longevity, but it seems to be pretty cool. Those cars are fast. Excuse me. Now, there's some quality issues around the build of those cars, but that'll come with time, hopefully. Aston Martin is teaming up with Lucid, and Aston's going to be leaning on Lucid for battery electric powertrain components. So when Aston goes, hey, we want to start doing an EV or an EV SUV or something to that effect, which they're going to have to do, we can look at Lucid for providing maybe some of that stuff. So that could be kind of interesting. The Lucids are fast, and Aston wants to be fast.
But that's a different relationship than the Ford Rivian relationship.
Which Ford and Rivian basically ended. They're not doing powertrain sharing, which, you know, the Rivian EV powertrain was going to sort of underpin Lincoln's efforts. But Ford of Europe, I think, is where the EV headquarters is for Ford. And after Mustang Mach-E and F-150, I think they're like, we don't necessarily need to lean on Rivian for this. Now, they still own a stake in Rivian, so, you know, that's a good investment for them. But so this is going to be interesting. I think interesting for Lucid and for Aston Martin. Aston Martin potentially doesn't have to reinvent the electric wheel, I guess you could say, from scratch. And Lucid potentially has a client now that is going to help increase revenue other than just car sales, right? Like, look at what Tesla has been doing, besides all of Tesla's other businesses and robotics and AI and space exploration and all that. But, you know,
don't forget Twitter.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's not really Tesla as much as it is Elon, but, you know, the potential for Tesla to increase revenue by opening up their supercharger network to Ford and then to GM, and the most recent announcement, Volvo has signed with them
We talked about it a long time ago, and it's coming to fruition for sure.
You know, they've got to grow that network now that all these other players are going to come in on board, and now they're coming on board over the next year or two. So maybe Tesla's got a little bit of time to, you know, increase their network from 12,000 to, I don't know what they're trying to go after, but
you really wonder what type of effect that's going to have on the existing Tesla customers who are already waiting in lines to charge their car.
Yes. So the line is going to be the issue. There's going to be several commutes, if you will, like the LA to Vegas one, where there's already lines where something will have to be done. And I don't know if you can add more chargers to that station or you add a second location and get real smart about the in-car notifications about what's being used, how big is the line, you know, how long are you going to wait and stuff. So there needs to be some sort of communication to, you know, in between these cars, not just the Teslas, but now if Ford and GM and Volvo and who knows how many more are going to sign on between now and then, it'll be kind of interesting. But, you know, but speaking of EV, Lotus, the Lotus EV is we're getting more specs on it. It's kind of cool looking. It's kind of got a little bit of that. I mean, you see it and you think the Lamborghini Urus. Personally, I think it's got a little bit of that going on with the squinty headlights. I don't think the shape is quite as pretty as the Ferrari Per Sangue, but maybe kind of similar headlight thing. But Lotus is trying to, you know, Lotus has always been about, you know, a lightweight, smaller engine, great handling performance. And they're like, how do we do that in an electric SUV? So they've come up with two versions. the basically, well, there's a big and a small, but there's going to be a small, medium, and large. There's the Elektra, I believe they're calling it, and then there's the S, the Elektra S, and then the R. And the Elektra and the Elektra S are going to have the same powertrain. It's about 603 horsepower and should get you to 0-60 in 4.5 seconds. And then the R steps up to 905 horsepower, and they claim 2.95 seconds. I'm not sure why it's not 2.9. I'm not sure why it's not 3.0, but somehow with the right day and the right temperature and the right breeze and the right driver, it's 2.95 seconds. But what's interesting is it's using a two-speed transmission for the rear electric motor and a single speed transmission for the front electric motor. So I'm not exactly sure what this is going to do to range, but I think it does provide for a little bit higher top speed, 165 miles an hour. You know, my Ford Lightning, I'm sure it's limited electronically, but you know, 0-60 in 4 seconds is fast, but it only tops out like 105, 100, you know, eight, excuse me, something like that. The range for these two vehicles for the Lotus is 373 estimated miles. Now, this is the European driving cycle, so I think it's how they do it is a little different than ours. So ours, I believe, comes in down from these numbers a little bit. So if they're at 373 for the standard version and about 304 miles of range for the R, you probably knock some miles off of that for us, which is, you know, not bad. If they come in at 350 and 280, it's pretty good. It's pretty aggressive. But here's the interesting thing is in a world of SUVs that are weighing 8,000 pounds, theirs comes in at 5,820. Now, that's for the R. It's 5,489. So around 5,500 for the base version and a little over 5,800 pounds for the R version. But in the world of electric SUVs, I think that's coming in at a lighter weight. Not exactly sure how they're doing it.
That because they were able to, with the battery technology, save weight there, or is the vehicle made of styrofoam?
It's probably styrofoam, and I mean, it's got 112 kilowatt lithium ion battery, and I don't think you can really change that. It is what it is, right? I don't think you get to play around with the weight of that. Curious what the Lamborghini weighs. Well, now I guess the Lamborghini is now the Lamborghini Urus, which isn't electric yet, is under 5,000 pounds.
But that's where all the weight is, right?
And then you got to add the battery, right? So I don't know. Maybe they're going to come in somewhere around there. I guess we'll find out. But I mean, the things that we see on the road, roughly that size, are pretty heavy. Like a Rivian's 7,000 pounds, 71, almost 7,200 pounds. I can't imagine the Lotus is much smaller. I mean, the Rivian's not that big. Maybe, right? Because the Rivian R1T, which is the SUV. Yeah, it's, I don't know, 7,150 pounds. I don't know. Seems like the Lotus seems light to me. Anyway. It looks cool. The interior is cool. We'll see how it's going to play out. But if you like the Lamborghini version and you want the gas engine and you want, you know, the new.
And you don't want to pay 400.
Yeah. And then now's your last chance, because over the next year or so, the only option on the Urus is going to be a plug-in hybrid. You'll still have the V8 with the gas engine, but it'll be offset with a battery. And I'm sure it'll be quick and it'll perform great. But like we were talking before, it's like, are we leasing electric vehicles and hybrids, or are we buying them? Because when it comes to collectability, like what are we doing with that battery that's sitting, you know, 6 months or a year and never being fired up, especially on the supercars that we talked about, you know, like LaFerrari and P1 and stuff. So just kind of a thought, like if you're going to you're going to get some sort of EV or super high end expensive hybrid, probably drive it.
Right.
Yeah, probably drive it.
It's going to melt.
Yeah. Anyway, before we wrap up, I want to talk about this Singer. Did you see the Singer concept?
I mean, but yeah, they've always been cool, right?
I mean, what a cool piece. They're taking a turbocharged 964 and they're rebodying it, and you know, because they're on this turbo kick now. That's the new agenda is the turbo cars for Singer, and they rebodied this thing to sort of a modern day, you know, 934 and a half. You know, the big wing in the back and the flares and just super slick lines, you know, and the concepts that they put out, it's got the wheel covers that are like on the 935, like on Adam Carolla's 935. I don't know how streetable this is going to be, but it looks so fantastic in the photo because that's what we've seen on so many of those cars in the past. And it's, you know, an Adams race car, it's got the knockoff, right? And it's got kind of a BBS and there's a couple little holes in it. And that the fan, the wheel cover, the fan is just tin. It's like a tin aluminum. Mm-hmm. And, but you can't get the same wheel sizes as the original. So the original wheels with those fans we have on the car, if he ever wants to show it, but he doesn't race it with it because the wheel sizes are different. You can't get those. You can't get a tire for it basically. So if you wanted to race with it, you'd have to make new fans from scratch. But the concept is looking fantastic with Singer. You guys, just Google, Singer 934 and a half or 934/5, and you'll see how amazing this car looks. What they've done with the big wing and the rear diffuser, and they got this exhaust kind of coming out on the side behind the rear wheel. Like, it's just a sharp looking car. They do such a good job on this thing. When you see it from the back and how wide it is, it just looks like a sick race car for the street. If you put a racing livery on this thing, you wouldn't know the difference at all. Like, all the bodywork and everything is there. So, only Singer and God knows what this thing's going to cost because it looks pricey.
Yeah, if it wasn't going to be something outrageous, Wanda's got a 92 sitting about 20 feet away from me.
Could, yeah,
transformation.
Maybe could use the Singer facelift.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, it would be
on the inside. So,
you know, it would be expensive because they need a donor car, right? So it would be expensive, but do you get it back? I think you do. I think if you take your 964 and you send it to Singer and they turn it into this, you know, over the top Singer creation, I think that car does well in the future.
Yeah,
you know, I think it does well. I think if somebody can afford to do the Singer treatment on it.
How long have they been around? How long have they been doing these?
Oh yeah. So that's a good question. So we had them on CarCast years ago when they were starting. So maybe it was about 12 years ago ish. Something like that. Rob Dickinson came in and he brought a Singer and he's like, this is what we're doing. And like, nobody's ever heard of it. He brought a car over and we shot video with them, and what that company has grown to and what it's become, not just in the cars that they've built and the quality of the vehicles, but what they've done with the reputation of that company.
Oh yeah.
You know, just a lot of respect for that company, and those cars are just going nuts as far as value. So, yeah. And these new cars, they're going to be crazy. I don't know, 700 horsepower. I think Singer's trying to do at them, 3.8 liter twin turbo.
High revenue.
Yeah.
Let's change the subject real
quick. It's a thought. it's a thought.
That would be cool.
Yeah, full carbon fiber body and the whole thing out. So you guys look those up. it's a cool car to get into. But all right, listen, we're running out of time here, so I think we're going to wrap things up. What's on your docket for the rest of the week?
Well, it looks like I'm baseball dad again this weekend. So nice little travel. You know, yeah. Try to get some carburetors tuned tomorrow with the GTX and the Charger and the Biscayne and, you know.
You didn't get underneath the twin turbo car, right, to see what the rattling was? If it was,
I've been out of town. I'm going to try to get it up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got Mario on my ass.
Yeah. Well, right. It's probably good that he is, because
there's no doubt. I mean,
there's so many projects. If you don't have somebody pushing you in the direction to get it done, then you wouldn't really get it.
Well, yeah, it's like you and you're 94, right? I mean, stuff just sits.
Yeah, it just sits there.
One of the best, you know.
All right. We're going to wrap things up, guys. Thanks so much as always. You know where we are on social media, and the orders that came in for Bravago for 4th of July weekend, we appreciate that. So, you know, if you haven't tried it yet, give it a try. We also got, you know, shirts and hats and whatever you guys need. So, that's all at drinkbravago.com. Appreciate you guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the rear.
And your foot on the floor.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Eddie Murphy is back as Axel Foley in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. He's rejoined by familiar faces like Judge Reinhold and John Ashton as Rosewood and Taggart, along with new characters and new hijinks.
I didn't realize that you couldn't really fly helicopters.
Watch Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., only on Netflix, July 3rd. Rated R.